Okay, so we're going to pick up where we left off last week with the notes from Baruch, who is our guest teacher from Israel, giving his perspective. So sharing my screen, we're going to go through Daniel, just quick review, very quick review of what he was talking about. And looking at Daniel, look at verse 4, he talks about the beast. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings, and beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. And again, just review, he's describing these four beasts. He said a lion was a symbol of authority, but I like what he said about the heart. He said the heart is deceitful, and a man's heart was given unto it. And the heart is going to pursue the things of excess, not necessarily what was needed. So I just thought that some of the little additions that he had in here was interesting. So I think we left off as we look at this. I do want to say, in spite of all the terrible things that are going to be happening, when you get to Daniel 9, and you see, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season of time. So this talks about the destruction of the Antichrist, which is that last government that happens during the tribulation time. And I like reading that part because it is such an encouragement that God is still in control, even though the world is in chaos. God's still in control. So that is nice. All right, now when he gets into verse 12, that's futuristic. It's an appointed time. Moad, so when you see prolonged for a season of time, that's feast talk. All right? It's God's appointed time. And what we see here is just a rehearsal of these feasts throughout history. All right? And we'll see that a little closer as we go. Now, I don't know exactly where we left off last week. 13?
Notes from verse 15.
Okay, sounds good. All right.
Daniel was troubled.
Yeah, he was troubled. He was troubled. And so when you look at 13 and 14, especially 14, there was given him dominion. We're talking about Christ. Because in 13 it says, like one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. He's talking about the second coming of Christ. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion, oh, this is great stuff. I get excited about this. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We got good news on the horizon. But again, as we talked about last week, and I think we did leave off at 15, it says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Even though you hear all this good news and you know that God's going to reign, even Daniel, after looking at these visions, is troubled. And we have to be very careful, especially with the craziness of today, that we don't let the crazy trouble us to the extent that we forget how this all ends. Keep
it
the faith.
It can
easily happen. It's just crazy out there. Yes. It's just crazy out there. Especially when you understand that when we looked at Matthew 24, Christ tells us that persecution is coming. I don't know what that persecution looks like, but persecution is coming. I did tell you about what Baruch told me about the Netherlands, right? I didn't tell you about the Netherlands? Oh. About the church in the Netherlands, how he's going to do some ministry with the...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And about the whole gay thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess that's persecution.
Yeah.
And he said it's just a matter of time before the United States gets on that list of countries that you get persecuted as a Christian because of your beliefs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we might not be fed to the lions, but that doesn't mean you're going to be. And I don't want to compromise. In love, we should not be compromising, because, and I think one of the things is, as I look at these end time passages of Scripture, I mean, this is historical. They were looking for the end times. It didn't happen during their lifetime, but they're still going through some kind of rehearsal of the feast through this, and we are going through the same thing, and we have to be living our life, our Christian life, holding on to the faith as if that end time is going to happen in our generation, which is very well might be, because this ain't the first time that the world's been crazy. Okay, all that said, let's see what Baruch says going a little bit further. He talks about none of this stuff is going to happen until there's a great falling away, and we see that word in 1 John, and we see it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll talk about that. All right, and I think we did mention that falling away, because people are going to be deceived. And I think, Roger, we chimed in on this. They may have never really been truly believers in the first place. Because true believers understand that you might have to go through some tough times. All right. Okay. So let's get to 16. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. So Baruch says he desires truth. And if you are not committed to the truth of Scripture, you will be deceived. That's one of his key points. We should seek to understand the truth. If you don't know the truth, then you need to be, and you got to be very careful. Again, going back to our original text in Matthew 24, there's going to be a great deception. Great deception.
And to me, if I put myself in that situation and I'm Daniel, it would be very intimidating to even speak up and go near and ask a question. So he's putting himself in a very uncomfortable position because he seeks the truth, and he seeks it so much that he's willing to put himself probably in a very uncomfortable situation to get the truth.
Well, he's talking to one of the angels, I assume, here, because, you know,
yeah.
You know, and so when you have the opportunity to hear the truth, you got to speak up. Let's make that happen here in the class, too, because some of our best classes mm-hmm. sessions have been those sessions where we're discussing and we're speaking up and we're asking questions. Don't assume. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff there. These are the times and places, because you can't do it in the service, in your quiet time, and these settings of whatever, with all of us here, you know, ask the question so we can understand what the truth is, because you don't want to be deceived.
You know, what Lauren just said, I find it that way, too, when I'm approaching God
okay. With
a question, and I think, do I really want to hear the truth, you know, because sometimes that's uncomfortable, even though I do want the truth, I want it. But if he tells me the truth, then it's a little uncomfortable to hear that.
Wow. I have experienced that so many times where I know what God wants me to do. I feel it in my spirit, but I don't want to do it. And I'm praying, Lord, why don't you just bless my plan? And I know, you know, it's just, yeah. But I got to... Man, he's still God. He still knows. I'm learning from enough of my experience. One of the first times that happened was when I left the military and didn't have a job. And I just felt in my spirit, I just knew in my spirit, God is saying, you need to put your retirement paperwork in. This is it. And I'm like, well, I will certainly do that, Lord, when you give me a job. Nobody in their right mind is going to leave a well-paying job as an officer to go out into the civilian sector and not have anything already waiting. That doesn't happen. And I prayed, and somebody here at Von Forrest, I was like, hey, man, the Lord told me to get out, so here's my resume. You know, he kind of shoot it around and kind of hook me up or whatever, you know, and I'm going to drop my retirement paperwork as soon as and he said, his name was Oliver Love. And he said, maybe God just wants you to trust him. Deb, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. That was one of the greatest faith moments that I ever had. Because I dropped my retirement paperwork without having a job. And the world thought I was half nuts. Because I still had a flourishing career in the military. Crazy. God's plan was better than what I thought. You just got to trust him. Man, that takes some trust and some faith. But you're right, Deb. And there's a lot of people that have not had that experience. I was talking to my son-in-law, and he was talking about somebody he knows, and he's been praying to God, trying to bully God to get God to, you know, bless him the way he wants to be blessed. And he just kind of asked him, he said, hey, what is God telling you? Well, God's telling me I need to change, but I don't want to. Why are you praying? Don't expect nothing from God. That's what the scripture says. Anyway, I digress. All right. Verse 17. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Four kingdoms in the world. All right. And so he says, this is beyond just Israel. Because Israel, the Israelis are going to be persecuted, but these great beasts are going to impact the entire world. So nobody escapes this prophecy. Verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever. All right. So when he talks about the saints, and this goes back to Revelation 13, which hopefully we'll have some time to look at, believers will possess the kingdom. That's good news. Mm-hmm. Which means there's a better kingdom coming behind all these beasts. Just don't freak out. Alright, he slides down to verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse. This goes back to verse 7 that we talked about last week. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devour it and break in pieces and stamp the residue with his feet. There's going to be a fourth beast, or this fourth king, or this government that's going to come through, and it's just going to kill a lot of people. A lot of people are going to die when we get through to the tribulation. And again, I think I gave you Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8, which says 2/3 of the Jews in the land will be cut off or killed. I still find that just amazing. Whether it's another Holocaust that's on the way, or whether it's through nuclear weapons or whatever, that is just astounding. And that's in our future. No wonder Daniel is upset. And we think that, you know, when I used to see these scriptures, I used to think, well, I understand, and God's word is true, yeah. But I just don't see how anybody in a civilized world would ever allow that to happen again.
Now you do.
Now I do. Man, I do now. Yes. All right. Verse 20. Oh, wait a minute. His notes on that, they are different from others. It's because Satan is really behind and backing this. And so there's going to be some things that we've never experienced and can't fully comprehend. This goes again back to Matthew 24 and Daniel 12. All right, verse 20. And he talks about the ten horns. The one horn that sprung up, that sprung forth, is the Antichrist. And it will initially present itself, this is important, it will initially present itself as a holy government and will demonstrate a counterfeit holiness. That's important to understand, because that's where we get deceived. Let's look at 20. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom fell 3, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. It's talking about the Antichrist's kingdom, which comes out of these horns. All right, so we talked about this before, I think. There were 10 horns. 3 get taken out, which means at least 7. But that's not God's number. That's not, because there's really an 8th. And that 8th horn that comes up is going to be the Antichrist. All right. So, verse 29. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So the Antichrist and this false government that's based on a platform of holiness, this is really counterfeit, which is how we get fooled, all right, it's going to prevail or have significant success against the church and the believers and Jewish nation. Verse 22, more good news. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and at the time, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. All right. So what he says here. Oh, I skipped Revelation 17. All right. That little horn in verse 21 that sprung up is the Antichrist, and it makes war on the saints. I think I'm going to go all the way through Daniel 7, and then we'll go back to Revelation 17, because it's just really just interesting. And forgive me for bouncing back and forth. I mean, end time prophecy can get kind of confusing, but I just, hey, bad stuff's going to come, Antichrist is going to come through, all right, but God reigns. And don't freak out when you hear all this crazy stuff. That is, okay, very good. Amen. Okay. All right. I was getting ready to run out of here. All right, end time, got to move. All right. Verse 22. When he talks about judgment, now Baruch has some interesting things to say. He said, judgment is a good thing. Judgment is a good thing for saints. All right. So let that be encouragement. Because judgment brings righteousness. Did you catch that? God's judgment is coming, and his judgment is coming against the evil and against these governments. But for us as saints, judgment brings about righteousness. All right?
Judge been teaching that her discipleship class at the Vessel Ring.
Praise the Lord.
About judgment bringing righteousness.
Yep.
And it's a good thing.
Yep. And so Baruch says, his word brings about a righteous change in these governments. All right. Verse 23, thus he says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. So this is a worldwide thing. And shall tread it down and break it in pieces. All right. So verse 23, he's saying that fourth beast is the world, is a world kingdom, and is satanic in its origin. All right. Verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. All right. So, shout out to, now, a lot of people are thinking that these 10 horns are the 10 countries that will come out of the European Union or the EU. And they will be existing at the same time as the Antichrist's kingdom. And all be part of that. All right. Well, 3 of them are going to be taken out. That leaves 7, but the Antichrist makes it 8. All right, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. He's going to speak blasphemy. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. It's the government. and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now, time, one, plus times, two, 1 + 2 = 3, half a time is half of one, which means that's 3.5, or 42 weeks.
42 months.
Oh, see, I'm sorry, 42 months, or 1,260 days, mm-hmm. or the middle of the tribulation during the desolation of, abomination of desolation, which means it's the middle of the tribulation, and then you enter into the great tribulation. Now, I know those of us that have been studying the Bible for a while realize that 7-year tribulation period is split in the middle, where you had the tribulation and you had the great tribulation. So he's giving you the timeline here for the great tribulation. Praise the Lord. We won't be here.
I was just fixing to say, wait, we're not going to be here, right? No. Not supposed to be.
All right, here's what Baruch says. He wants to wear out or discourage saints and take away their hope so that they have hopelessness. But we have to have biblical hope that's rooted on the promises of God and not our desires. I don't desire that we go through, especially as a nation, I desire that we not go through any of this. But it will just stay crazy until the fullness of the Gentiles or the fullness of his wrath comes to play.
All right, hang on a second.
Yep.
You gotta understand something. This is, you're talking about we're not going to be here, but remember now, there's still people that's going to accept Christ during this period. That's who he's talking about. Who are persecuted and everything. So I mean, you got your 144,000
yep.
Jewish men witnesses that are going to witness to new believers, because none of this can happen if all the believers are gone.
Well,
the new believers are the ones that's going to be getting in the last 3.5 years.
So I asked the question of him, and I said, "Will people be saved during the tribulation?" And I don't think he understood my question. He gave me a response, and he almost indicated that they would not. And I'm like, ooh, that's contrary. But I think he's talking about the latter part of the tribulation. So when the church gets raptured, this is just kind of Chuck talking here. When the church gets raptured, when that tribulation period begins, I fully believe, as I look at Scripture, that people will be saved.
Right.
And the two witnesses are going to come during the beginning of that tribulation, because they're the two witnesses, and they witness for 42 months or 1,260 days or 3.5 years. So we know in Matthew 24 the gospel is going to be preached to the entire world. So when you see the rapture and all these things coming around, there's going to be somebody that's going to turn to God during all of that. Alright,
some now, people immediately
I would
be like,
it's going to be difficult. See, you know, this is almost like raising your kids.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can do this the hard way or the easy way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're going to go through some tribulation with your parents or whatever, all right? But if you don't obey, you got some great tribulation. You got a hard way to go. I'm trying to talk to my grandson on one of these things. I say, hey, look, I know that everything might not be happy in your home, you're a teenager, stuff like that or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But, you know, you got some worse right around the corner if you don't suck it up, buttercup. You know?
But this also shows me how merciful God is and gives everybody a chance, even up to the last.
Right, right. So I think the question was, will anybody be saved during the Great Tribulation? I don't know. I'm still thinking there will be. Baruch had a slightly different answer on that. But yeah, Roger, yeah, people will get saved. Yeah.
I mean, verse 25 says that he's going.
Well, we'll see it more clearly in Revelation. Like you said, with the one foot.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at. You got the two witnesses, but you also got the 144,000.
Yeah, and they're going through that great tribulation.
They're They're not just standing around.
No, they're getting persecuted. They're yeah, all right.
They're witnesses. They're witnessing.
So we'll see that more clearly in Revelation. All right. Now here's his notes on verse 25. The Antichrist wants to change the perspective. And 1 John says the spirit of Antichrist is already here. So we're already seeing examples of Antichrist throughout history. All right. He's going to have temporary success. For 3.5 years, he will have success. And he will embrace religious pluralism, biblical liberty through the word is not worldly freedom. All right. So true Christian liberty is the liberty to obey and serve God. The Antichrist wants you to be free to pursue your desires of flesh. So again, this government comes in on a platform of being holy, but it's a counterfeit holiness. All right. A lot of people, you know, in my readings before this, a lot of people like to put this on the Pope and the Catholic Church coming out of Rome, and you hear some things from the Pope embracing all the different religions of the world for the sake of peace. It sounds like that's really holy and very righteous, and who would not want to respect everybody's belief?
Made a statement that there's more than one way.
All right. So now you've got this counterfeit thing that's going on, and it seems right. And who in their natural mind would not embrace that kind of pluralist, that multi-group of peace among all different religions? Who would? That just makes common sense. But common sense is not spiritual sense. Don, let me pick on you for a minute, because I first saw this back in the 70s and early 80s, because Don used to play trumpet with some bands and stuff like that. He's a musician or whatever. Don, you remember Earth, Wind & Fire, right?
Yeah.
Man, I was a big Earth, Wind & Fire fan. Earth, Wind & Fire had an album cover. And I don't know whether it was All in All or Spirit, but on the inside of that album cover, because, you know, they had pyramids all over the place. On the inside of that album cover, they had the symbols of a lot of the different religions on these pedestals when you open the inside cover. Which I thought was...
Yeah.
You remember that? You remember the album cover?
I remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the inside. I believe that was on All in All.
I think it was All in All. And so how did you feel when you saw, you know, all the different religions from Buddha, you know, Muslims and all the rest on the inside of that album cover? Because I loved the music. I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was neat.
Well, what gets me is when you see the bumper stickers and say coexist.
Yeah.
It's all the different symbols.
Ah, I've seen it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to spell coexist, but it's all these religious
things. Right. Hey, so Don, as much as I love Maurice White, Head to the Sky and all that stuff or whatever, that was the example of what we are talking about today, and that's the platform on which the Antichrist will deceive many by accepting all of these different religions and views and thinking that's holy. And once you get false doctrine, once you get peanut butter on your chocolate, all right, you got a different kind of candy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. And that's, Don, that's the very first time that I really saw that. And I didn't realize it until I started reading End Time Prophecy and understanding the one of the great deceptions on the platform of this false Christianity or righteousness. Let's put it that way. All right. I respect everybody's religion, but everybody's religion ain't gonna make it to the kingdom. And if you preach something other than that, then you are into... I know in my logical mind, that just doesn't make sense. It seems to be controversial. I get that. I understand that. But we're talking about end time here. And this is how he gets his foot in the door. I'm just saying. You can be nice, you can be loving, but you can't be compromising.
Who apologize us?
No, well, I'm just saying. So all I'm saying, Don, it's already out there, bro.
Yeah, that was a great example.
Been out there for a while, man. Man, I used to jam off that album. I was totally ignorant.
Huh?
I think I still got that album somewhere. But it makes sense.
Online, a lot of Egyptian stuff.
Well, does anybody remember that? You probably remember that John Denver movie where he was talking to God?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
I was loving the movie up till
right toward the end.
Turner said, Jesus was my son, and Buddha was my son, and Muhammad was my son.
Yeah,
I said, okay.
I almost had a dream out of that movie.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
There.
It's already here. But we're oblivious to it. Because we don't read end time prophecy. And that's why Christ says, need to watch.
Yes.
But when he said watch, I'm like, well, what am I watching for? Mm-hmm. I'm watching for your return. Okay, I'm waiting for your return. No. You're supposed to be waiting for his return, but you need to make sure that you're watching to make sure you don't slip off into, booga booga land, all right, and miss the rapture.
Well, you gotta and watch. You
can be
looking for the return,
but you still got work to do down here.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I'm here for a reason.
Well, and another reason is to bring other people out of that deception.
Yes.
All right. So, verse 26. Oh, we got to move on. We got to move along here. God will destroy this after a while. That's praise God for judgment. All right, verse 27 talks about the saints. And verse 28, here too is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, or my thoughts, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart, which means he kept his mind on these things. It was troubling. But he kept his mind on these things. I still keep thinking when I look at Thessalonians, Zechariah 13:8. Two-thirds of the Israelites are going to die in the midst of this tribulation. I still can't wrap my brain around that. But it's prophecy. How do I know it's going to happen? Because it's been rehearsed throughout history, and the Holocaust was just practice. Just practice.
So the statement, I kept this matter in my heart, is significant to me. Mary pondered the birth of Jesus in her heart.
Kept it in her, yep. That's the first thing I thought about.
The other thing, too, is he kept it in his heart until it was time for him to share it, write it down, do whatever they did back then to make sure that we got it, we have it today.
Yep.
And so the fact that you said it kept it on his mind is how he kept it fresh in his mind of what he saw and didn't forget anything.
Right.
He kept thinking about it even though it was troubling, so that he wouldn't forget anything, so he could put it out so we could have it today.
I think that's part of being watchful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to open up my little commentary thing here, just in case, because Baruch did not go into a lot of detail on this, but he made reference to this, and I want to see in the time that we have left if I can get through Revelation 13 and 17. No, I don't want to donate to you right now. All right. I like Dave Guzik. I like the commentary off the Blue Letter on this. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Alright? And as I'm going through this, blasphemy is part of it. So you got to realize the deception is that the Antichrist wants to set himself up and confuse us by being a holy, righteous government, but in the end it's just blasphemy. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea from the place identified. I don't want to do it this way because he breaks it up. He breaks it up very nicely, but I think I just want to read the scriptures. All right, and we saw this in Daniel chapter 7. We saw the beast, which was like a leopard. Feet were like the feet of the bear. His mouth is the mouth of the lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The dragon is the devil. So these are satanic motivated governments and leaders. All right. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. There's going to be a nation that comes up that looks like it's taken out, but it's going to be revived. All right. And some people think it's the Roman Empire, Babylon, ancient Babylon. So somebody who you think is down, and that's been rehearsed. And one of the things that I looked at as I was looking at this, look at Germany. Germany looking for world domination in World War I. They were wounded and taken out. And they came back worse than they were before. These are just rehearsals. Just rehearsals. All right? And Hitler he set himself up as a god.
You know, I remember when JFK was assassinated.
Yep.
That there were people that said that he, you know, he had a head wound.
Yeah.
That he would come back.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Maybe the spirit of that might come back in another form. All right. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I missed something here.
Yeah.
Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He wants God's worship and glory. He'll suck us in through this compromise of what we believe. All right. Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Look at this. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Roger, what is 42 months?
3.5 years.
Boom. Great tribulation. I read this stuff, but I never really put it all together. It's all over the place. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. When it talks about tabernacle, Baruch says, it's going to be given to the Antichrist to make war with Satan to overcome. And this also has to do with not just Israel, it's the church. All right? And this will be a government, but it's going to be a counterfeit government that's going to rule the world. It's going to be worldwide. So this does involve the church. All right. All right. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints to overcome them, and power was given over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's crazy. Whose name are not written in the book of life of the lame slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the faith and the saints. All right. The beast from the earth. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. I think I'll be okay. I'm going to get into I need to get to Revelation 17. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell with therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Don't get tricked. The enemy's got some power, some things that you got to understand where the source of that's coming from.
Like the sorcerers
with Moses. Yeah, exactly. I used to love watching Michael Carbonaro, mm-hmm. Carbonaro effect. And I'm like, man, how does he do that? That's some wonderful stuff or whatever. And I started thinking, I'm like, Michael Carbonaro seems like a really nice guy. I think I can hang out with Michael Carbonaro. I'm not saying anything against Michael Carbonaro. I'm just thinking. He's just a magician.
He's an illusionist.
Illusionist. There you go.
Sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand. There you go. You don't do magicians? I'm going to have to stop doing them too because I don't want to get fooled. Yeah. I stood up there and be a mighty.
The real thing. Yeah,
man, I'm sitting up here looking. I'm like, man, how do you do that? How do you do that stuff? You know.
It's not that so much as people believe it.
Mm-hmm. And some of it's so ridiculous.
Create a goldfish out of a peel.
Yeah.
And people believe it. So,
who's the guy
that
makes the jet disappear?
Man, I don't know. I ain't heard that one. Oh, David Copperfield. Okay. I'm sure they're all nice guys. I ain't saying they're the Antichrist or anything like that. I'm just saying that's an example of how we can be easily fooled. And we'll get so caught up on how they do it and just amazed that we'll miss the fact, all right, ain't nobody saying anything about the gospel when the plane disappears. Ain't nobody telling you to go and believe in Jesus after they get through with a show. All right, anyway, let me keep going before somebody...
There are some people out there, though, that do that kind of stuff and then forge
you back. Okay, well, praise the Lord.
Who it is.
All right.
There's grief.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Don't worship the beast. Well, don't be here in the first place, and then you ain't got to worry about it. All right. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, I don't even want to spend a lot of time on that because there's so much about what this mark is. Is it, you know, is it a computer chip? Is it going to be something, you know? It very well might not be any of those things. It might very well be. Remember the Jews back in ancient times or whatever, they had phylacteries. And the phylacteries were rolled up pieces of scripture. And they wore it on their forehead and they wore it on their wrist. So your mind and the things that you do, that you put your hands to, it very well, I read this someplace, it's a different perspective. It very well may be that rather than us looking for a physical mark, it's where your mind is and who you worship.
You remember Cain had a mark too.
The scripture I think about that talks about that, it talks about wearing it as frontlets on your head.
Yep.
It's Deuteronomy.
That's phylacteries. Yep. They used to have a piece of leather that would wrap around their head, and they had the scriptures on their head, and they had a little bracelet. Yeah. All right. And he causes all right. And that no man may buy or sell, say that he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Yeah. Oh, economics is involved in this. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for that is the number of man. His number is 666. Let's move over in the time that we have left to Revelation 17. We might have to get to 2 Thessalonians next week, but I think we're almost done with this. And he does spend a little bit of time on Revelation 17. I will go to a little bit of the commentary on this one because it's kind of interesting. All right. Talks about Babylon. Okay, so here's the scripture. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were drunk with the wine of her fornication. Fornication. When you fornicate, you are committing adultery if you're married. And what he's indicating here is that we have a like marital relationship with God, mm-hmm. And if you're a harlot, or commit fornication against that, that means you've been unfaithful to God. How can you be unfaithful to God? By picking up idolatry. What he's saying here is this great harlot who sits on many waters, all right, is that compromised, counterfeit church. Got it? It's going to be a great deception. It's going to come from the self-righteous church. The middle of that album covered that concept. All right? Now, there's a difference between the great harlot and the woman in Revelation 12. The woman in Revelation 12 are the true saints and the true church that is not compromised. This is not that church. All right. But judgment is coming on that great harlot. All right. Who sits on many waters, that is, she presides over many nations. She has a universal and international character. All right. Many people like to identify this great harlot as the Roman Catholic Church, but false religion is not limited to any one church. So don't get it twisted that this is all about the Pope or something like that or whatever. It may not be. All right. All right. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. That means something. Adorned in gold and precious stones and pearls, and having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. This false religion is going to be the cause of many dying. All right. Whores or prostitutes back in those days would have a little headband with their name on the headband. I didn't know that part of history. But the interesting thing of this is this false religion sits on the platform of the Antichrist. The Antichrist has to ride something in there that's going to deceive you. That's what he's going to ride on. Did you catch that?
No.
The woman is sitting on the beast, which means that is that joint platform, church and state, all right? And that government that arises, the harlot or that false religion, rides that into that's the platform. It's a joint platform. It supports that false religion, but that false religion also promotes the Antichrist to have that agenda. Got it? I know. Just stick your head there. It's just crazy, but it gets you know. All right. Here it goes. The harlot rides the same beast with seven heads and ten horns that was previously seen in Revelation 13, the Antichrist and his dictatorship. All right. Her position of that riding the beast indicates, on the one hand, that she is supported by the political power of the beast, and that she is in a dominant role and helps direct the beast. Let's keep going. I'm going through this kind of quickly because I'm running out of time. All right. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns." All right. It's the Antichrist system. All right. The beast that you saw... Oh, this is interesting. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. All right, so I'm going to explain all that. The seven heads are seven mountains, and that's associated with Rome. And let me just go through this again. There are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. The other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue for a short time. So now, Here's what Baruch says, and it is in this commentary if you look. Baruch said, here are the five that have already come. Egypt. Assyria. You know what modern day Assyria is?
Iran. Well, it's Iran, Iraq.
Okay.
A little bit of Germany is in there as well.
It's the Muslim area.
Yeah. Babylon. Yeah. Yes, it is. Babylon. Medes and Persians. The Greek. Alexander the Great. All right. Those five have already come. Part of the rehearsal. All right. That's why. Now you guys see he's saying this. This is John. Now remember. These are the same horns and kingdoms that are mentioned in Daniel. But when Daniel is given the prophecy, these things have not happened yet. So Daniel is talking about futuristic. When John starts writing about it, he's saying five of these things have already come. So he's looking at it historically, but also futuristically as well, because God is just rehearsing. And each of these five kingdoms had, in some way, persecution of the Jews, except for maybe Alexander the Great. So these rehearsals against the Jewish people, come on, Kanye, you got to have more sense than this. Just don't mess with God's folk. All right. Here we go. So those five had already fallen. The one that is, right, five war, one is, that's Rome. Because guess who was in control when John wrote this?
Rome.
And then there's another one to come after this. So Baruch says this, if we're believing we are in the last days, and we know the first six, who is the seventh one? It is not the final one of the seven, because there's eight. So either the seventh one is still to come, or it has already come. Take your pick. And when I look at Nazi Germany, that looks like a real good simulation of number seven. But what do I know? All right.
And then the Antichrist one is the one to come? Or
the Antichrist would be eight. All right. So, if it's already here, who is it? One through six had something in common. They persecuted the Jews. And in history, what empire was the greatest persecutor of Jews? The Nazis. So Baruch believes that there will be an event that causes this to rise again. And that's pretty much most of his notes. Let's finish going through the rest of this. Ten horns that you see are ten kings which receive no kingdom yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Economic union. At the same time with the Antichrist. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. I can almost see that. They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Thank you, Lord. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw, bless you, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. This sounds almost exactly like what we read in Daniel 7 and in Revelation 13. Here's what some of the notes says. Many have seen the European Union, formerly the European Economic Community, as the potential fulfillment of this. Perhaps, but now there are more than 10 nations in this revived European power, and more on the way. So we have to see what happens. All right. Oh, there is little doubt that the economic European Union claims itself to be a successor to the ancient Roman Empire. They met together in Rome and signed the Treaty of Rome, and that was the beginnings of the present EU. In many places in Europe, the EU flag is as prominent as any national flag. It's coming.
Moses fit this too, the crescent. It may not be European Union, it could be the Muslim nations.
They might join the union as well. I don't know.
Just believe it. You're about it.
In
Europe too.
Well, you know, 7 and 8. Don't know if 7 came. We know 8's coming.
One may be one and one the other.
All right.
Or that EU is to distract us while the Muslims rise up?
I don't know.
They persecute the Jews.
Well, we know they're going to be persecuting the Jews. Somebody's going to be playing. You got the coalition. All right. And and that's really what you see here is a coalition. All right. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate, naked, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So here's what happens on this. God's going to take judgment on the false church. And the beast will take it out as well. They don't need it anymore. And that's how God is going to bring judgment on this false religion. They get judged too.
When you're talking about the EU, you've got to look at the new BRICS group of nations too. It could be a different name.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the scripture doesn't say it's going to be economic European Union.
Right.
It's just going to be 10 nations that are going to be in a coalition together. And 3 of them are going to be taken out. It's going to be down to 7. All right. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman you saw in that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth? It's talking about the other woman, and which is the church. All right, so there we go. Let me stop sharing. I'm out of time. And somebody remind me, we will wrap this up next week. Promise you. So what we'll do next week is we will take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then we'll go back to Matthew 24, and we will finish up that parable.
2 Thessalonians.
Yep, we'll take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which really is just another example of the scripture we already read. You know, when I was studying end time prophecy, 2 Thessalonians 2 didn't even come into play, but it's in there. In fact, man, I'm late. Let me just go down and do this right now. I'm just going to read through this. Because how many verses is it? Oh. Whoa. 17.
Maybe wait.
Okay. We'll wait.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any questions? I know this is like drinking from a fire hose for some of us if you haven't done end time prophecy. So let me just kind of sum this up. Throughout history, God has been rehearsing end time prophecy for every generation, it seems. And just because we might not see the rapture or end time, how this all works out, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be watchful and careful. There's still false religion in the world. And every generation coming up to now, there has been false religion. You need to watch over the same thing. You need to be watching just like the end time is coming. And now that we've seen of these 7 or 8 kingdoms or whatever coming out, we've seen 6 of them have already come through. We are inching closer and closer to end time. And don't freak out. That's the big message I got from it. Don't freak out. Your political party is not going to keep, don't freak out. God is coming. Be watchful. Don't be deceived.
And we have to tell.
And we may need to make a stand and don't worry about the persecution. Because
right.
We need to tell people the truth because it's coming. And when they see it coming, they need to see us as Christians that are not freaking out. Mm-hmm. Why ain't you freaking out? Why ain't you worried about the prices? Because
no.
God is on the throne. He's coming. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
One of the things I shared this with someone
Okay.
Even a dress rehearsal. There's
yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that has struck me the most was in his judgment, where he was judging the churches, and he was, you know, he judged the head, he judged the tail, because they were not preaching correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But he judged the people who were not seeking the Lord, they were listening to the leaders of the church. And I feel very strongly that we need to pray for everybody in our churches, that we're not just blindly listening to who's in the pulpit. We need to seek the Lord, because the judgment is not going to be isolated to just those running the church. He's going to judge those that are sitting in the pew.
Everybody should have. Everybody needs to be following those steps, having the Holy Spirit. You, if I say something that's kind of weird and wacky, that don't line up with the word, there is some really strange thing coming out of pulpits and coming out of big pulpits. Some really strange things. And they're from famous preachers. And I'm sitting here going, you got congregation of thousands and you're coming up with this stuff? Where are you getting this stuff from? There's no hell.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That ain't new. That ain't new. That's not, yeah, but there are resources of stuff. So I don't even know where to get it from. This I want every kind of people coming into the church or whatever. Sinners need to be in church, but I can't be accepting the lifestyle of it. Can't stay like that.
No.
Just anyway, I gotta go. Just you know, just whew, I mean, just great. And I hate to say this, but pray for your pastors, because somebody needs to start speaking out. Amen. In love.
Amen.
In love. I'm going to the pulpit of my church or whatever, and I'm gonna. I hope I can hang out there a little longer. But I'm telling you,
because we have people coming who don't know.
The deception is crazy, and they need to know the truth. Yep.
From the head to the tail.
Yep.